This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. Jonathan Hood on assignments. But you've got me, Gabe Neitzer from ESPN Milwaukee. Brian Roach from ESPN West Palm. Plenty of things to dive into, including Crown Jewel coming your way Saturday morning live from Perth, Australia. As of right now, Broitz, we have five matches on that card. We have for the Crown Jewel Championship, Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins. For the Women's Crown Jewel Championship, Stephanie Vaquer against Tiffany Stratton. We have Cena versus Styles, a tag match featuring Rhea Ripley and Io Sky taking on the Kabuki Warriors. And then Roman Reigns versus Bronson Reed in an Australian street fight. What is the match that's going to steal the show at Perth, Australia's Crown Jewel?
And like you said, a very early start, 8 a.m. Eastern. Have your coffee ready for this one. It's interesting. We've talked a lot about WWE PLEs and outside of the major four where they're sort of forgettable. I'm sort of into this card, which I think starting there
really?
Is hot. Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's something where I can make a case for pretty much every match where it's like you can go either way. And I like that part of the card right now. So I'm excited about that part. Yes?
It makes sense. But I guess I'm just not, I haven't been into that much of Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins and the drawn out video packages and just like get there already. And we did the contract signing for the women's one, which was the most uneventful contract signing in the history of WWE, where they just both say, we respect each other, sign the money, and then somebody else comes down to interrupt. Like, and I guess Tiffany Stratton could just be left alone. I don't know. Like, that was a very strange segment on SmackDown on Friday night. Cena versus Styles doesn't have any build because it was all on social media, which they put out the video of, oh, Cena asked for it, Styles said he wanted it, Triple H said, here you go, boys. Like all just Twitter posts, which was very strange. Roman versus Bronson is going to be fun. I think Rhea versus Io Sky, the Kabuki Warriors, is probably going, the women's tag match is probably going to be the best match.
Yeah.
I think of, so if I'm talking about stealing the show, I'm going to say that one because I think it probably has the four best wrestlers of anybody else on the card. Like,
yeah.
That's where I guess I lean there, but it's a very strange build. Yes, you can go either way on all five matches, which is unique on any wrestling card, not just WWE, like any wrestling card. So that is unique, but the build has been very awkward for everything outside of the last two. I would say, you know, I think it's been more traditional for the tag match and for Bronson versus Roman.
Maybe I'm more just like AEW more for it's like, oh, well, the storytelling and how we got here wasn't great, but the matches are going to deliver. So maybe I'm just thinking in that mindset.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the matches should deliver. Cody versus Seth, like they delivered the in those first three matches when Cody returned to WWE. Stephanie Vaquer, again, while I have said, give me a reason to care about her.
All right.
They still haven't. However, she should deliver in the ring. That should deliver in the ring. And honestly, Cena's kind of on a hot streak right now in the ring, and you put him in there with AJ Styles.
Right.
Yes, this honestly might be one of the best wrestling cards that WWE has put together all year.
And granted, you're still going to have 2 hours of commercials and video packages and nonsense backstage. So it is still one of those. I'm not waking up at 8 a.m. to like, oh, I have to be locked in right at the jump. It's one where, all right, I can just watch the matches after. I agree on the tag match. Part of me, though, Cena versus Styles, I just feel like there might be something special there. And with the limited dates, like, I don't know if Cena's going to face a better wrestler over these final five dates than he will AJ Styles.
Well, because we also have literally no idea who he's going to
Zero. Face. The rumor is Gunther at the very end, but even that I don't think will be this type of match.
No, because Gunther just wrestles a different style.
Like, right.
That's just, all right, John, we're going to beat the shit out of you on the way out the door. Like that's basically what they're doing if they do Gunther, if that rumor comes to fruition, which honestly could then be an interesting way to go with Gunther and do like more of a modern-day legend killer with him,
right?
You know, retiring Goldberg, retiring John Cena. I think that could be a interesting creative way to go. And given the limited dates and the lack of time you're going to have to build up to a match, I think that's an easy story to pitch and sell of, hey, I'm going to make sure John Cena goes out a loser.
Right.
Like, hey, we know this is his last match. I'm going to make sure he goes out a loser. So that makes sense for me. But yeah, I don't know if he's, is he going to wrestle at any of the other dates? Or is he just going to show up?
I don't know. Based on social media, I feel like The Miz does squeeze his way into one. I'm not saying it's going to be good, but I feel like The Garden or something. Like The Miz has been very vocal on social, and he's a good soldier for that company. So I feel like they'd throw him out there one more time and like, hey, here's your Cena match.
I guess, is Cena going to be a part of War Games?
Yes.
Is he going to be on a team? Are you going to put him on a team at War Games? Because he's never done a War Games match, has he?
I don't think so. Yeah, I guess that'd be a good way to say, like, hey, he's in this match. Because, yeah, that is one of the dates right now. I could honestly see him wrestling every date from here on out.
Okay.
It's Madison Square Garden, it's Boston, it's Survivor Series, and then it's Saturday Night's main event after this Saturday. So
yes.
He's going to want to wrestle in the Garden. He's going to want to wrestle in Boston. Like, you could do it as an open challenge again. You could do a Miz thing. Like, I think there's ways to get matches, but I think this might end up being the best of these final five. And possibly, I guess, the best of the year because it's AJ Styles.
Yeah, and I think him and Cody certainly have delivered. Logan Paul just absolutely delivered. So right. Hopefully we can have some really good match. Again, you throw Miz in there, it's not going to be a good match. But, you know, it is what it is. But, I mean, I think that can help John Cena's legacy on the way out if that's what we're building towards. Like, just banger, 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 banger on his way out, and then Gunther beats him at Saturday night's main event. I think that certainly could be interesting. Roman versus Bronson, I think, certainly is interesting. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Especially because it's an Australian street fight. So how much does the rest of the Vision get involved? How much does the Bloodline get involved? Because it kind of feels like that's what we're building towards, right?
Yeah.
Bloodline, once again, taking on the Vision.
This feels like the most obvious of the results. Like, I feel like because of the way Bronson's been gotten the upper hand in this feud so far, like, Roman has to win here.
Does he end up on the receiving end of a beatdown? I guess the problem is
that.
Yeah. The problem is here, I guess, if we think that the Vision versus Roman and whatever team he puts together ends up being once again the War Games, we're short people.
Like, yeah.
I don't know who the Vision recruits outside of the three that they currently have.
I mean, you mentioned Logan Paul. It feels like a Logan Paul thing.
Okay.
And other top heels are Drew.
Is this where they can recruit Gunther and you can do a little Gunther? Cena's going to be on the other side. I don't know. I'd like, that's where I'm curious, because this is, again, War Games is looming.
Right.
And I have been a proponent, much like with Hell in the Cell, like, save War Games.
Yeah.
You have it. Doesn't have to be an annual thing.
Correct.
Because you can start shoehorning things because that's around the corner. And who knows how much more Roman's going to be around between now and then to help for the build. That's always kind of one of the wild cards too. But I feel like this should be a springboard into, here's what's coming at Survivor Series.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And at least there's some pieces on the male side. On the female side, I feel like we have zero pieces for War Games right now. Like, it's just going to be thrown together, and it's like, oh, yeah, we have to book a woman's one also. Like, on the men's side, you have Vision and Bloodline. That stuff's building. We're on that path. Like, on the women's side, we have wrestlers.
I mean, we're already doing this tag match with Kabuki and Rhea. And again, I don't know who then Kabuki goes and recruits.
I feel like they're literally just going to take all their feuds and just throw them into one. Like, you have the tag match.
Like, again, which is why I felt like they wanted to avoid like the traditional Survivor Series style matches, because that's before they started doing the brand supremacy thing. And that kind of revitalized it maybe for a year. And then they kept going that too long. Because there is no brand supremacy when people are getting traded and moving from brand to brand every 6 months. But before even they got to there, it kind of felt a little stale, because it's like, what do we... Like, very rarely did you get the, this actually makes sense. Like, when Dolph was the sole survivor, like, that one made sense. But more often than not, was like, well, here's five good guys and here's five bad guys and here you go. And it feels like that's what War Games for the Women is going to be. I'm with you there.
it's the tag match. It's Becky and Lyra, and it's like, you know, Vicaire and Julia. It's like, oh, they're feuding, just throw them on there. So, like, that makes sense. I'm trying to think, even on the male side, like, who fills out the Bloodline side?
Well, again, I think that's where, I don't know if Cena, again, you just throw Cena in there.
Yeah. So Roman, Cena, Punk, Jay.
And Jimmy.
Can we throw Fatu in there, or they've cooled that off?
Does he still work for the company?
I think so.
God, I mean, he did a backstage promo.
Yeah.
on that was it. It wasn't even a bag. I guess it was more of a vignette because it was like pre-recorded. Yeah. And it wasn't necessarily set up as a backstage thing. Again, I don't know if Punk. I mean, I guess Punk kind of makes sense, but like, if you're gonna shoehorn Cena in, can you shoot? Like, you can only shoehorn one in,
right?
And you already shoehorned Punk in with them last year, right? Like, so I don't know if like Punk returning and doing that again makes a ton of sense, but.
And the other thing is, there's nothing between Saturday and Survivor Series, right?
I do not believe so.
I'm looking right now. I think we have a Saturday Night's main event November 1st. Saw that advertised.
Yeah, well, but that's a house show.
So October 11th, Crown Jewel, November 29th is War Games. That's a long time
in WWE world. That's a long time to try to build some of these things up.
Wow, and then the Cena final match at Saturday Night's Main Event, December 13th. So you get that one quickly after.
Yeah, but I guess you do have the Madison Square Garden show. You've got, you know, you've got some bigger tentpole events, kind of like the way AEW did, I guess, this week. They Title Tuesday. They do Bash at the, you know, their beach bat, or Spring Break is what they call it, because Bash at the Beach is copyrighted by the other guys. But, you know, we're AEW, winter is coming, you know, they do all those sorts of, I think you can kind of build up some of these Raws and SmackDowns as bigger than they are to help kind of help bridge the gap. But it should be, like you said, I think it's going to be a really good wrestling show. Yeah. Looking forward to it. Again, may not be, you know, ready to go right at 7 a.m. Central.
Yeah, Central.
You know, maybe we'll see what time we get up. I'm on the air till midnight Central on ESPN Radio Friday night. So waking up early and watching wrestling. I don't know if that's going to go hand in hand.
I'm coaching Little League flag football, so maybe I'll make them watch it. That'll be a part of our warm-ups.
For inspiration.
Watch big Bronson Reed here, you five-year-olds.
Yeah, wait, you don't know he's big, but that's why we call him big. That's the only way you know that guy is big. We've got a lot of other things we're going to dive into this week on GKW. We call it the three counts, other top three stories in the world of pro wrestling. What do we got at number one this week?
This week in wrestling history, it was the 10-year anniversary of Bayley versus Sasha, the Iron Man match at NXT TakeOver. So let's keep it to the last 10 years. Who are the best rivals in pro wrestling over that time?
So I don't know if there's one rivalry that's really extended all 10 years. You know what I'm saying? Where it's like, and every once in a while it gets revisited. And that just hasn't been a thing. And I think AEW certainly has cut into that a little bit because now you have people working for different companies. So I've got four written down, and it's really more kind of, okay, who told the best stories in kind of shorter bursts? Like the rivals that I truly remember over the last 10 years. And they're all relatively recent.
Yeah.
all in the last 6 years since AEW came around and became a thing. The most recent, I went with Punk versus Drew. Mm-hmm. I think that was just a really memorable rivalry because of the way they were able to carry it despite Punk's injury and the way it still was a theme on WWE television. So that's, in no particular order, that's kind of the first one that I've got written down.
So I also had that one written down, but also WWE and sort of recent, Rhea and Liv. I think the way Rhea did her part, and also you talk about the injuries where I think they both went through injuries during that time, and I feel like there's still meat on the bones to that rivalry, like once Liv comes back again now. But the way they sort of built each other into the stars they are today, I think is because of that rivalry.
Yeah, replacing Rhea with Judgment Day, certainly I think that's – I did not have any women ones written down. I think that is probably the best women's one for sure. I think that the other WWE one I had was Cody versus Roman. You main event WrestleMania in back-to-back years, like, and that's Cody finishing the story. And that's a big part of the best story, I would say, in the Bloodline saga over the last 10 years of wrestling. So I would say the biggest rival for Roman at that time was Cody, because Cody's the one who ultimately ended it as well. Bloodline honorable mention would be Roman versus Kevin Owens.
Okay, I think that's fair. I think the only pushback, I guess, is that, like, there's just such gaps in between it. Like, yes, we got back-to-back Mania, but because of Roman's schedule and Cody doing other things, there's just such a gap. Because the one WWE I sort of push back on, like, maybe even is the longevity one, KO and Sammy.
I mean, it's just fight forever at this point.
Right. Like, so you have the rivals, and they're not, then they are, like, even going back to NXT, doing the ROH stuff, so I always enjoy those two in the ring together.
Yeah, I think that goes on any list of any, like you said, ROH, NXT, WWE. Like, it's a story that they can always run of KO versus Sammy. Yeah, because they're in fight forever territory for sure.
And the other one I wrote down, because to your point about, like, you can go back to and you have those little Easter eggs, and it's on the AEW side, is Swerve and Hangman. I think in terms of making stars, and now we get to the point where any sort of interaction between those two, it's like, all right, I'm into that. Like, even I feel like the last time they were backstage, the little head nod of like, my bad. And now you still have those little nuggets. Like, the storytelling those two did, it reached levels of arson. And, you know, Hangman even pointed out, like, maybe I should be
the one getting
scared.
He pointed out on Tuesday.
Right.
Like, he's running through the list of things he's done in 6 years of AEW. Hey, I've even committed some arson.
Right. Same exact show as, you know, as a program of being the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man. So that's what AEW is. Like, so I think having those callbacks, like, that's one of those rivalries where it's like, all right, I'm into something there, where you still have those little nuggets to digest.
I did not write that one down. That is a good one.
Yeah,
because much like you said with Rhea and Liv, there's more story to still be told there. Because, you know, I guess it kind of depends upon what happens with this run for Hangman as world champion. But, you know, if Swerve gets healthy, or once Swerve gets healthy, I should say, and if Hangman's still champ, they're going to revisit it.
100%. You can go back
and they should
anytime.
And it should be revisited.
I think, like, Kyle Fletcher has told us on this show where, like, he has that feeling of him and Ospreay they can always just go back to when they need it.
Yes.
And, like, I don't know if we look at it in the same in terms of rivalries outside of just the pure wrestling standpoint, but Hangman is sort of storytelling, I think, is in that same boat.
Well, and I think with the Hangman sort of storytelling, that also turned a corner to where we are currently with AEW.
Sure.
Like, when the criticism of AEW was, yeah, the pay-per-views are really good, but what stories do you have? Right. That's the story that they ultimately, you know, that with everything that was going on with the Death Riders, like, they finally started telling stories over the last 6 to 8 months, right? And I think that's kind of a turning point of them, like, oh, we've got something really good here. How can we turn this into something? And they knocked it out of the ballpark.
I completely agree. And the other one I'll push back WWE-wise, neither of us wrote it down, is the Rollins aspect. Like, do we
put... See, but that's... I thought long and hard. About what do I, like, Roman versus Rollins?
Right.
But during the entire Bloodline saga, they wrestled once to a DQ finish.
Yeah.
And that was it. And I know part of that's like, Roman's not always around, but it's, you know, so Punk Rollins, but it's, like, not as good as Punk Drew.
Right. And that's, you know, even Punk Rollins, like, I thought we were done at Raw on Netflix, and now here we are, we're doing mixed tags, they're still doing stuff, like, it's not a rivalry where it's like, oh, I want to continue to see these guys do stuff.
Yeah. Well, and the rivalry to me was more about AJ and Becky.
Right.
Right. Yeah, like, fair. And that match at least was about AJ and Becky. And we'll see, like, I mean, they're clearly setting something up for somebody to wrestle. You know, I think they're going to have a fatal, you know, or not a fatal, but a triple threat match with Jay and LA Knight and Punk to be the next contender. You know, coming out of Crown Jewel, and I guess we'll see if they do, because again, I'm assuming the Vision's going to be involved in War Games. True. So that means Seth isn't going to be defending at War Games. So I don't know if one of these other shows he's going to be defending it, whether it's in the Garden, whether it's at Saturday Night's Main Events. I don't know. But that triple threat match, that.
Like,
yeah.
Unless, I guess, if you could get away with him not being in War Games and defend that Survivor Series. But also, they don't care about titles being defended. I think I saw Judgment Day have been tag champs for 100 days and defended it once, I believe.
You could have told me zero times, and I believe you.
I might be overselling it with the one. I'll have to look it up.
If you said zero times, I think I would believe you. when it comes to that. But the two, so the two that I have written down in for AEW, FTR versus the Briscoes.
Yeah.
Because that, and it was only a year, right? It didn't stretch over multiple years, but the trio of matches that we got, granted on the ROH pay-per-views, but the trio of matches that we got from FTR and the Briscoes, and maybe we kind of look back on it a little bit more fondly because that was also really the last kind of real matches that we got out of Jay Briscoe before his unfortunate passing. I think FTR versus the Briscoes was fantastic, and they had kind of reached Fight Forever. Like when we did our match of the year that year, yeah, you, me, and Jay Hood all picked a different FTR Briscoes match.
Right.
Like without planning it out, we didn't like discuss this beforehand. No, we all just organically, all three picked a different FTR Briscoes match. So again, it wasn't this long year and a half, 2 year rivalry. It was bright. It burned shortly, and it was, but it was fantastic in the year and the three matches that we got out of it. And then I also put down another, this is also kind of Fight Forever for me. And unfortunately they won't fight forever now because they're in separate companies, but the Lucha Bros versus the Bucks.
Sure.
Like they had so many matches that were just match of the year candidates, stealing shows on AEW pay-per-views. And it's just like, kind of like you said with Ospreay and Fletcher.
Yep.
Where, yeah, we could just heat that up whenever. I mean, if the Lucha Bros stuck around, you could heat up Lucha Bros versus the Bucks whenever. And somehow, despite them have already wrestling 7,000 times, 7,001 is going to be uniquely different in its own way. So I also wrote down the Lucha Brothers versus the Bucks.
And I think you could even throw in there, combining those two, the Bucks and FTR. I think because
yes,
there was so much build, there was so much anticipation to that first ever one that it is still sort of special and unique when we see those four in the ring together.
Yeah, because, I mean, FTR comes from the Bucks.
Right, exactly.
And being the Elite, you know, like that's where the FTR name comes from. So that's where, yeah, those were kind of the four that I had written down that had come to my mind when this question was posed.
And two, for the stats and information, Judgment Day won the tag titles June 30th. We're now October 9th. They defended the title one time. This compares to their previous reign last year, June 24th through December 16th, where they defended it three times. And they've been champions total for over 250 days and defended them four times. Tag team wrestling, very successful in WWE.
I mean, this is where I just missed those 30-day provisions where you had to defend it once within 30 days. Like that was an old Vince relic, an idea that I kind of miss right now.
Like, why in not WWE? Just throw them on TV every 2 weeks defending the title? Even if we know they're going to win it, and then once in a blue moon you get a title change, you're like, oh, didn't see that coming. Like,
yeah,
what is the harm? You have time to fill.
And that's the thing. Like, you did a contract. Again, when you do a contract signing where nobody gets physical, where literally the two just say their respect for each other and sign the contract, I think we've got time to for people to be defending tag team championships.
I agree.
But maybe that's just me. What do we got at number two this week?
All right. We saw the build continue to next week at WrestleDream, Hangman versus Punk. We talked about last week, you put Joe in this situation, not Punk, Hangman versus Joe.
There you go.
Joe will get you sold. So who in wrestling can sell you on a match in just 1 week?
Okay. So obviously this question is because of Samoa Joe.
Right.
Samoa Joe is one of the answers
yes.
to this question. because Joe's promo on Tuesday night was spectacular. And I'm glad that they revisited. I'm glad they presented this the way that they did, because I think we talked about it last week where you could have easily just kind of glazed past it and just continued to focus on however you wanted to build this match. But I mean, Joe sold it 2 weeks ago. And then was able to get into the ring with Hangman Page. And hey, this is why I want this match. This is why, you know, Page is telling him, hey, this is why you're getting this match. Joe's
right.
Hey, you reminded me who I am. And just Joe, there are very few people like Samoa Joe in professional wrestling. And because of his history of being a badass in any company that he's been in, I think that helps him be able to sell the anger that he puts behind a lot of these promos. So Joe was certainly the first name I wrote down on the list.
So in regards to Joe and like where this question comes from, Joe and Hangman, I think Joe is one of those guys, you put him in there with anybody and he can sell me on it. Like him and local enhancement talent. And I'm like, all right, I want to see that match. The flip, I think Hangman sort of needs the right dance partner. And he's not quite there yet where you put him with anywhere. And when he's with the right dance partner, it's A+.
Oh, it's
like
great.
Talked about.
With Strick, yeah, with Swerve.
Right. But I don't think he's the one where you put him in there with anyone. It's like, all right. Like, we've seen some of it during this title run right now. Or, like, him and Fletcher maybe missed a little bit. So I think there is a difference there, and I think Joe deserves that credit where it's like, all right, yeah, you got me, whatever it takes.
Well, so the list that I put together, it ends up being people who have some history as well, and sure. that I think, but it's somebody who's a really good talker. Like, ultimately, this ends up being people who are some of the best promos, I think, in all of pro wrestling. That's who, and again, because of their ability to do this in the past, that's why. So, John Cena's on this list for me.
Really?
Like, John Cena's on this list for me right now, because the promos, especially when you get the babyface John Cena, not the last real champion John Cena, but if you need a short period of time, you get John Cena out there doing his yell into the mic and get excited thing. Yeah, you're going to be able to sell a match very, very quickly.
Maybe the heel stuff is too fresh in my mind then, because like that's still what's there where it's like, all right, he's on a mic and he's reading words and I'm not moved at all.
No. The heel character was so bad. Right. But again, like I feel like they were able to sell me on him versus Logan Paul pretty quickly.
Okay, yeah.
Because that came together. It's not like that was a long-term. And again, I think Logan Paul deserves some credit there too. Right. But Cena was able to get back into babyface John Cena and deliver that promo very, very quickly.
I wonder, though, Logan Paul, I don't know if he's there yet. He might be one of those guys that, because he's such a good heel, and the good heels are few and far between in wrestling right now, he might be able to sell me on any big match.
Mm-hmm.
He's close to that.
Do you want to, stick in WWE, Punk's on the list.
Yeah, yeah.
Punk's on, so CM Punk's on the list. Becky Lynch is on my list.
Yeah, and you're seeing it now where, like, she might be the best right now at, like, taking young talent and getting to the next level. Like, that was awesome on Monday with Maxine.
I typically hate finishes like that. I thought it was the perfect finish for that match.
Yeah.
Like, I figure, because, again, it plays into Becky's character of being overconfident and doing all these things. It gives again, because you couldn't pin Becky's, right. You can't have her pin, you can't have her submit. But having her lose via countout?
Yes.
But it's still a win for Maxine. I thought was awesome. I thought that was great. But also
and then the backstage fit about it's the refs and the refs are corrupt. Like it's awesome.
And Seth is just there with the sunglasses on, just not selling any of it. Like he might not have been listening. I'm not even sure, but he's there to be the sounding board. Yes,
we've all been there.
Ranting,
we get it, Seth.
Yes, her ranting afterwards was fantastic. But I think, again, like if you have to have her build you a match very quickly,
yeah,
she's going to be able to sell me on it very quickly.
Completely agree there.
And then the last WWE name I have is obviously Paul Heyman.
Yeah, I think that's a good one. I didn't even think about him in this regard. Yeah, like you give him the mic and magic follows.
Yeah, yeah. It's not a spoiler. It's a prediction. I mean, he's going to hit the notes he wants to, and he's going to sell me on it. Because, again, he's Paul Heyman. He's been talking people into buildings for almost 40 years.
On the AEW side, I had two. I had MJF because, again, like heels are so far and few between where, like, he's going to get that heat. He's going to piss off the fans, and he's good to go. And I have Tony Storm.
Yeah, those were the other two AEW outside of Joe that I also had on my list.
Yeah.
I thought those were very obvious on the AEW side.
Like, she can literally lay in the middle of a ring and sell you on a match like we saw Saturday night on Collision.
Yeah.
What she does, Toni Storm.
She's a remarkable talent. I don't know how she doesn't break.
I know. Ever. Like we don't even have that one or two instances where, like, oh, there, it got her. Like, every time, just completely clean.
She's been doing this for 2 years now.
Uh-huh.
She's been doing the timeless thing. I don't know if I sent it to you and Hood, but I saw a tweet of when she became timeless in a interview package that she was doing with RJ City. And RJ's breaking. Like, this is the first time. Like, she's becoming timeless Toni Storm. And, like, RJ's breaking. Like, for the first, like, it's, and she hasn't broken once in 2 years. It's
amazing.
And again, with all the double entendres that she spits out, and there are just people breaking around her, it's just fantastic.
Bravo to her.
She has sold a lot of really good matches over the years of being able to do that. And MJF, especially the direction the character is going, I know he is taking some time off right now, but the direction in which that character is going after losing, he's going to be able to talk me into a lot of different matches, and has talked me into a lot of different matches, to be frankly honest.
And honestly, like, it has me excited for what the main event scene is going to look like when he comes back and we assume wins the title, because however long that world title run is, all those matches have that much more meaning because you want to see him get his comeuppance. You want to see that face, you know, punch him in the mouth, and you're so pissed at him. Like, it's going to make the main event scene that much better when he's world champ.
Is there anybody else we missed?
That's the thing. I think, like, to have those people that can do it with a broomstick, like, it's not easy, and it takes a special talent.
Well, because, again, like, as big of a talent as Roman is, like, Roman can't talk me into any match. Correct. As good of a talker as Seth Rollins is, I don't think Seth can talk me into any match.
So, I mean, we didn't mention him, but what about Cody?
No.
I agree.
Because the problem for me for Cody is most of his promos are pretty cookie cutter.
Yes.
You know, it's, and again, it works. He's the baby face, but again, he kind of needs that dance partner for promo-wise.
Right.
Because I think he's probably better in ring than most people give him credit for. But, like, promo-wise, I think he needs that right dance partner in order to kind of draw the most out of him.
Yeah, I agree. Because it is just, you know, paint by numbers. Like, what do you want to talk about? Do the entrance. Do this. Like, it just goes through it. And we've seen in WWE, we've seen misses. Like, we have seen Cody Fuse where we're just not invested in. And, I mean, you mentioned you're sort of not even into this Rollins one right now. And even once we end this, there's not that obvious dance partner again. And there are lulls in the Cody stories where AEW Cody at the end obviously had all the issues. But, like, we saw that edge and we saw heel Cody where there was stuff like, all right, I'm into it. But I agree. Right now, it's just something's missing there.
Drew?
Yes, but no. The no part for me is the way he's booked in the WWE. Like, he will sell me and get me into it, but when you know he's going to lose, it's starting to lose some luster.
Okay, that's fair.
So, I think that's hurt him recently.
Mercedes.
No.
Okay.
Like, she's one that, like, once we get in the ring, like, I know it'll deliver, but I'm trying to think who else. Like, there's not much else out there right now.
No, it has to be, like, the right give and take back and forth.
Right.
For a lot of people right now. And I feel very good about the list of, again, I guess we agreed ultimately on 6 of the 7 that I wrote down, but I feel very good about that list.
On the Heyman front end, being a top heel, Don Callis?
I mean, who's he selling in the family? Because
one of the 47 people. Like,
the problem is the family's too large, right? Like, if he's trying to sell me on the Murder Hawk Monster, no.
Right, right.
If he's selling me on Fletcher, then yes. Okay. Like, the family's too big. Like, I can't keep track of them all. They barely all fit in the screen on Tuesday.
I know, it is very impressive.
Like, it's too large. Gotta break it down. Yeah, yeah. You can't sell me on Lance Archer, because again, Lance Archer I know is not winning.
That is true.
What do we got at number 3 this week?
All right, we saw on TNA, NXT, TakeOver, Invasion, there we go. That's the
Invasion.
So Survivor Series matches on Tuesday. Let's do some fantasy booking. If we ever one day saw an AEW, WWE Survivor Series, who are you putting on those teams?
Okay, where do you want to start?
Let's start with the women.
Okay, we'll start with the women. Let's start with the WWE side.
Okay.
I think there are 4 to me that are probably non-negotiables on the WWE women's side.
Okay.
I would say they're Becky, Bayley, Charlotte, and Rhea.
Okay.
So to me, it's those 4, and then now we're just debating who do we want to put in spot number 5.
So,
like, that's where I think it's that easy for me.
I debated whether you could put all 4 if one of them ends up missing the cut.
You cut out Bayley?
I would cut out Charlotte.
Uh, I can't. Okay. I know the mileage for everybody on Charlotte varies, but like, she's literally the most decorated WWE women, like wrestler of all time. So I can't keep her out. Like, those are the three of the four horsewomen. Like, they have to make it, and Rhea's Rhea.
Right. Yeah, that's fair.
To me, it's those four, and then we're debating over who the fifth is.
Yeah, and I think Rhea definitely takes the cake there. I think who you end up missing out on is EO and Liv, or some of the other ones.
So that's the thing. I've got Liv. So again, that's the other thing. Is this current, or are we including injuries? Because otherwise, it's easy to say no to Liv right now.
I think it's like current, but yeah, if they're hurt, so be it. Like, it's fantasy world.
Okay, fantasy booking. Okay, so then we're debating over the last spot. It's either Alexa Bliss, it's Liv. Well, no, because Becky, Bayley, Rhea, and Charlotte are four. And then we need one more.
Oh, right. I was counting four horsewomen. Good point. Yep.
One of them. And she's on the other team. Don't worry. Right. She's over there. But yes, we have three of the four plus Rhea. Right. So then we're debating Bliss, Liv, EO. I mean, Vakera's a champion right now. Tiffany Stratton's a champion right now. But I don't see them.
Neither of them came to mind at all.
I would have to put Asuka on that list of worth debating.
Literally just to see the miss, because I don't know how she gets them so blue every time.
It's impressive.
Like, how does she do that?
She's really good.
Yeah.
She's really good. I'm really enjoying that storyline, by the way.
I agree.
Of her just bullying Kairi Sane and Kairi not knowing what to do it's very, very good storytelling.
Uh-huh.
I kind of lean towards EO here.
Yeah.
In terms of those four. If this was 5 years ago, probably Asuka. Maybe Asuka's lost a little bit of a step.
Sure.
And EO hasn't. I think it's EO. I think EO is my fifth on the WWE women's side.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I would go with that also. So Bayley, Becky, Charlotte, Rhea, EO is the WWE side?
Yes.
Okay.
AEW side, again, I think there's four that are pretty easy. Tony, Statlander, Willow, Mercedes.
Yep.
So now you're just debating, okay, who do you want in that fifth spot? And really, I only put down two, because I mean, as much as I would only put Britt Baker on this list, like, I don't know the last time we saw her.
Right.
She's still listed on the roster, by the way, but like, we haven't seen her in forever, so I feel like I can't put her there. So then we're just debating, to me, Athena or Hayter.
Okay, I also had Megan Bain.
She's not quite there yet for me. She's getting close. She's very close. Okay. And Hood would be very upset with me.
And
I feel Hood would put her on the team. But I don't know if I'm there. Out of personal bias, I would put Athena.
See, it's weird. I didn't think Athena because, like, I don't see her on my television. Like, to me, she's in the same class as Britt Baker. Where it's like, oh, I think she technically works there, but you got to pay to see her. But, yes, she deserves that spot.
Yeah. Like, I'm disappointed we haven't seen her since the Toni Storm stuff. That's been a little disappointing. And again, like, I really like the AEW women's roster, but they just have so many people to me that aren't quite there yet. Like,
sure.
The Triangle of Madness? They've had too many triangles.
I know,
but the Triangle of Madness, like, I like all three in there. Like, I really like them. They're just not at the level of, oh, hey, we're putting together a team. One of these three has to be on there.
Right, and I do think in this, like, fantasy booking, Willow has the chance to sort of be that star. Like, we talked about how Raw versus SmackDown had those moments, like the Keith Lee moment of, like, oh, look at this younger star that isn't up there, these main eventers, that all of a sudden by the end of it's like, all right, this person's something. And then it's Keith Lee, so talk about people that are on rosters that don't work, same boat. But Willow in this fantasy booking, I feel like, could be a real star here.
Yes, I completely agree. So who are we putting as the fifth?
I'm good with Athena.
You're good with Athena?
Yeah, like, I didn't even think about her, so I'm good with it.
Okay. I was about to say, I know you're a big... You've been the biggest Athena fan, I feel, of everyone on GKW since the start of the show. So I figured you would not have a problem with Athena being on the roster.
So I'm good with that.
Okay, so on the men's side, starting with WWE, Roman, Seth, Cody.
Okay.
Where do you go from there?
I feel like Punk has to be part of it. Okay, we're doing storytelling and all that, like him going against AEW. There's a story there.
Yeah, I would agree. So then if we put Punk there, so then we have to choose between Gunther, McIntyre, Sammy, AJ, Cena. You put KO there. I know we're the future of like the future of KO, I know, is in question, but
I'd even throw in the mix Dom.
Honestly, I think the last one has to be Gunther. Okay. Especially if Gunther ends up being the one who retires Cena. So I think it would be Roman, Seth, Cody, Punk, Gunther.
Yeah, I think there's stuff there because you could tell stories. Even like just thinking, and maybe because Tuesday and the NXT stuff's fresh in my mind, like you had that person that, oh, is he truly on this team? Like, I feel like Drew could end up filling that role. Like, I don't really want to be here. Like, you know, don't get along with any of them. So we saw on Tuesday, Trick Williams, who's the TNA champion, was on Team NXT, and then he walked out on Team NXT at the end. So you have stuff like that.
Yeah, so Drew could make more sense more than Gunther in that right. point. Yeah, okay.
Because Gunther among those four, like, he's first out, and that hurts him. Drew first out, like, as I expected.
Okay, so the five are going with the men, Roman, Seth, Cody, Punk, and Drew.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. AEW men's side. There's going to be some tough omissions over here.
Yeah.
All right, like that's just...
Even so, the way you've been starting with the, like, oh, we got to keep these people on there, that list is two, three, and even that's hard.
Okay, so Mox is number one. Mox has to be on this team.
I'm good with that. I put Hangman in the must-have also.
Okay, so, okay.
Really?
Okay. Okay. Because the problem is, especially when you start factoring in some of these other people that are hurt. So now,
right?
Like, okay, we've got Swerve.
Yep.
We've Osprey. Got Osprey. Like, Osprey's got to be on there, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah.
But, like... I would... Okay, before we get there, I think MJF has to be on this team.
Yeah, like face the company stuff?
Yeah, especially, like, with all the bidding war of 2024, sure. Like, that, again, of all that... I think, like, MJF, so
Mox, and I think even Hangman, fantasy booking, him on Team AEW, but, like, wearing a WWE shirt, like,
yes.
That would be entertaining. Like,
yes, like, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So here are the other ones I have written down that we have to decide for the next two. Fletcher.
Yep.
Kenny. Darby. Joe. Orange. Okada. Takeshita. Cope. Eddie. Swerve. Osprey. Only two of those can be on this team.
I also would add Fletcher to that mix.
He was the first one I had on the list. Right. I skipped over him, I apologize. Because Fletcher is certainly on the list of names. I don't think I missed anyone, but I very well could have.
Yeah. The four I have left.
I feel like Kenny has to be on this list because you need a Kenny versus Cody like showdown.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
Like, to me, again, if we're going storytelling, like, and I know Kenny's not looked at as much as, like, a founding father the way the Bucks and Cody were, but Kenny's still an EVP, and Kenny was still a part of it. And I think you need, like, that buildup of, hey. So I would say Kenny, I would make argument for Kenny has to be four, especially if we're doing the Cody Punk thing.
I'm good with that. I think I was on the fence about Orange. And being face the company and all the stuff he's done. But, like, I feel like you got to go Osprey.
Yeah. Cause again, and shout out to Orange because it felt like there for a while. Like, he was defending, I can't remember which one. He had the international championship.
Yeah.
I think that's what it was. But it felt like for 6 months straight, he was opening up Dynamite with a defense of that championship, right? Like, he was putting on banger after banger after, like, he was just casually having great wrestling matches every Wednesday at 8 o'clock Eastern. To start off shows. So who's your fifth?
I think Osprey.
I mean, it has to be. You can't leave.
Yeah.
You can't leave him off.
And you have the stuff with him and Rollins back in the day and some of the social media beef. I think they're too much to leave off.
Well, and especially because he's been very vocal about this is where the best wrestle. Like that, where the best wrestle came from him.
Right. And he is that guy.
So again, this is where I come back to Hangman. Like, does Hangman have to be on there or do I want Orange on there? Or Okada or Takeshita? Leaving Darby off feels wrong.
Darby's busy. He's got plans.
Yeah, I'm getting arrested. Right. I was letting a Molotov cocktail off.
Hell of a tackle by the security guard, by the way.
It was a hell of a tackle. Saved a lot of people.
Yes. I don't know. Hangman's been so front and center. Like, I have a hard time leaving him off.
Okay. All right, so we are leaving off Swerve.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the five we have to go with.
Wow. That rocks pretty deep.
So to recap, on the GKW Survivor Series teams, WWE women, Becky, Bailey, Rhea, Charlotte, and Io, taking on Tony, Stat, Willow, Mercedes, and Athena. On the WWE men's side, we have Roman, Seth, Cody Punk, and Drew McIntyre going up against Mox, Hangman, MJF, Kenny, and Ospreay.
Beautiful. In what world could we ever see this one day? What has to happen?
I mean, WWE would have to buy AEW.
Okay. And we saw how
TKO. TKO would have to buy AEW.
Yeah. Is there enough Saudi money to where both sides are like, all right, we can put our differences aside for one night?
There should be. I would hope there is. I mean, if we're taking all the blood, I mean, if they paid whatever they paid for WrestleMania, like, right. I don't think it would, like, it shouldn't take whatever they paid for WrestleMania. It should not take that amount of money.
There's just too much ego, I feel like. But yeah, we can dream, I guess.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately all we can do.
Uh-huh.
All right, what do we got news and notes this week?
All right, we mentioned her as part of the Survivor Series. Bailey continued to be one of the best people in pro wrestling, and now she'll be holding a free seminar for experienced women wrestlers from December 4th through the 6th in Orlando. We'll be taking care of all accommodations and transportation. All you have to do is get yourself to Orlando.
She's the best. I mean, I saw this post on social media, and again, she's one of the most accomplished women in all of professional wrestling. So we start with that. B, like, her story right now is fantastic with whatever's going on with Lyra and her having multiple personalities and being a crazy person. It's been fantastic. But, I mean, the different characters she's played, I mean, she's somehow, despite all those things that I just said, is one of the most underrated people in all of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
And the fact that she wants to pay it forward – like, Bailey is somebody I would love to get on their show. I would love to talk to Bailey.
And, like, it's funny seeing, like, current wrestlers retweeting this and be like, if I was, you know, just on the indies, like, you cannot pass this up. I saw Matt Cardona flat out say, like, if you don't go to this or reach out, like, you don't actually love the profession you think you do.
Yeah.
And, like, for her to do this out of just because she wants to, like, that's amazing. I saw her a bunch in Vegas at indie shows. Like, she was just there.
Well, yeah, she's a junkie, man. Yeah. Like, she's a professional. And I know you told that story when WrestleMania was in New York. You kept running into Adam Cole at every different one, right? Like,
yes.
You can tell the people. And again, part of this is WWE with their performance center and having, you know, trying to find different ways to get people into professional wrestling, right? Drawing in people who end up loving it. Right. Like, I would say, oh, man, we forgot about Bianca.
Oh, we did. Talking about injuries.
Sorry, yo, you're off the team.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Bianca's in. She hasn't been on my television, so I forgot about it. And now we just said her name. So, all right, cross off EO. Bianca's on. Apologies to Bianca Belair. But like, she's not somebody, and we've had Bianca Belair on the show. It's not like she's somebody who grew up loving professional wrestling. She was just a great athlete in college, and now she loves it. And obviously with every thing she does with her own apparel and all these other things, and it's been great. But like, Bailey, we know she's been one of us since day one.
Right.
Like, we've got the pictures of her, you know, growing up. Like, she has the pictures of her as a girl loving professional wrestling. So those are the ones. And again, this is not a criticism of anybody else. But those are the ones who have loved it and grinded through it the way that, you know, Becky has, or right. the way that Bayley has, the way that Seth has, right? Like Cody. Those are the ones who have been just, this is what they've wanted to do forever. Those are the ones who are going to give back. And a lot of them do. And this is a great way for Bayley to give back.
Completely agree. We've talked a lot about the Saudi mania and what's going to be happening here stateside. Paul Walter Hauser told TMZ, quote, I would love to see MLW, CMLL, New Japan, AEW, Progress Wrestling, Defy, GCW, whoever, come together and do a mega show and sell at a 20,000, 30,000 seat place.
And I think that's something that Tony's kind of working on. Like, they want to run a show in the United States that weekend, which is just smart.
Yep.
It's just smart because then, again, you get to run that in prime time, where the Saudi one's going to be on at whatever time in the morning, you know? So now you can have on WrestleMania weekend, still a traditional huge wrestling show. And the fact that all these play, and again, maybe it's a bigger forbidden door. I don't know what you, whatever you want to call it, but I would be surprised that if in 2027, they don't do something like this. And they've got, the great part is it's not like it's coming up in this next WrestleMania.
Right.
No, you got a year and a half to plan for a 2027 show. And again, I would do it personally. I would do it in New Orleans.
Yeah.
But that's just me.
I am on board with that. Bodyslam.net reporting WWE reportedly is said to be undergoing creative changes to their team to improve the overall product. Road Dogg will remain as head of creative on SmackDown, but there are set to be additions to the team to make the show, quote, more enjoyable moving forward.
I know Road Dogg's a buddy of Triple H, but like, maybe you start at the top.
Maybe that could make sense.
Because this has not been the first time that he has been criticized as part of the creative team.
This is, we've seen in football. They're like, oh, we fired the offense coordinator. Things are going to get better. It's like, ah, didn't. Oh, it was a defense coordinator. Let's fire him. It's like, oh, man, it's still not bad. Not good.
Like, well, but it's also like you think of, and I don't even want to call it the Triple H tree necessarily, right? Sure. Like, it's just like this group of DX guys of, oh, well, Sean was a good booker. Like, look what he's doing at NXT. Clearly, Brian James can do this for SmackDown. No, no, he can't.
No, it is not working. And finally, news and notes from PW Insider. Santos Escobar has come to terms on a new deal with the WWE for a day or so. He was a free agent with his contract expiring, but WWE management considered his creative concerns and made him a sizable, larger offer than any of their previous overtures.
Yeah, I think I saw Meltzer was saying that WWE was scared of, like, hey, we don't want to be the company that's losing people. They're choosing to leave. So they put him a big offer. And he said, okay, if he stands back in catering, good for him. But what they pay, what he heard they paid him, expect to see Santos Escobar on your TV more starting maybe Friday night.
Well, congrats to him, I guess.
What did you have as your matches of the week?
We talked about Survivor Series stuff. I really enjoyed the TNA versus NXT Survivor Series. I'm a sucker for those old school matches, but the women's side, I really enjoyed that Tuesday night. Them getting the opportunity to shine and having pretty fun back and forth Survivor Series match.
I enjoyed, now I'm blanking on who Sammy wrestled on in his open challenge.
Alistair?
Oh, it was Alistair. Yes, because initially Mello came out, right. Got attacked by Miz, and then Alistair responded. I'm sure it was fantastic in the commercial breaks too. Like, the fact that they put two commercial breaks and didn't even do picture in picture during it to me was insane, because you've got two really good wrestlers going forward, going head to head. Is, and for your boy Sammy, is the Blue Thunder Bob now his finisher?
I guess, like, it's actually been working. I don't know. It's very odd,
because that was just kind of one of those, I don't even know what the word for it would be, like one of his bigger, more signature, maybe signature moves.
Yeah.
But it wasn't his finisher. But now he's done the Helluva kick into the Blue Thunder Bomb the last couple of wins for him.
I also drew on SmackDown the tag match, Los Garzas versus Javon Evans and Rey Fenix, which you get those four in the ring. They fly, they jump, they are very fast. And it was fun mixture there.
I still don't understand why. Unless you're going to put a singles match on Penta, like, why don't we just get the Lucha Brothers together? Again, WWE doesn't give a rip about tag team wrestling. Maybe that's it. But
there's your answer.
Because you're just burying Rey Fenix in these tag teams. And Rey's the better wrestler. What are we doing here?
I wonder if he regrets it. Like, because in AEW, like, he got a singles title. Him and Penta had those matches. Like, I just never wonder those regret with some of these guys. Like, oh, I wish I was wrestling more.
Well, because Penta's certainly featured more.
Yeah, he is.
Because he gets the, he's on Raw and certainly gets those showcase matches. Last night, the tag match with Takeshita and I thought that was a good blend of really good in-ring action and then Takeshita and Okada. Now they ultimately get the number one contendership, but obviously there's tension there, but you still got good action in the ranks. Excuse me, from Tuesday night. I thought that was pretty good.
Yeah, and I love the stipulation of that match, and even the fact that, like, if Brodito won, they would have gotten a shot at titles. Like, I liked how they booked that one.
Yeah, yeah, just a little different way to do it instead of doing, like, the Eliminator match.
Right.
And then I mean, Kyle versus Kyle 2 was not – I mean, not Kyle versus Kyle 2 wasn't as good as the first one, but still right. fun.
Yeah, it was fine. I had, though, we talked about a little for Monday, Becky versus Maxine.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes, yes.
Because of the creative finish and getting Maxine over. We've talked about on the show, she's someone that we wish she had house shows to continue to get better, but there is improvement there, and it's cool to see that in front of our eyes.
Without a doubt, the best match we've ever seen for Maxine.
100%.
Without a doubt. Like, her facial expressions are just so good. Like, anytime she would get big offense in, right. she would have, like, this look of surprise. Like, I can't believe I just did that. You know, it was – which fits the character. So to be able to match those facial expressions with what the character's doing within the match, I thought it was fantastic for Maxine. Yeah, that is – I did want to put that one in there as well. Yeah. So that is another great mention of Maxine versus Becky Lynch.
Shout out to them.
We do have Crown Jewel coming up, those five matches. So wake up early, I guess, if you want to watch it live, depending upon where you live. Not as early for Brian, earlier for me in the Central Time Zone. If you're out west, well, you really want to make sure you make the coffee for those going on early on Saturday morning for Crown Jewel. But we're getting closer to Wrestle Dream as well. We'll preview that. We'll react to Crown Jewel. If you missed any of our interviews, any part of the show, comment, subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. Maybe you want to comment, put together, tell us who we missed, because we could have missed people in our Dream Survivor Series teams for WWE versus AEW, like we missed Bianca Belair on the women's side. Let us know who we missed. Comment, subscribe on the YouTube page. We're going to do this all again next week right here on GKW.